This is Eben Matthews back for another intro to another episode of the Mythmakers podcast. Mythmakers is a podcast all about storytelling and the people who make stories. This is one of our Makerverse episodes where we sit down and talk to some of the people that we're working with in various capacities that do that thing of making stories. Very excited about this one. This is Patrick Williams. He's responsible for a new series on the Makerverse app called Basic Space. It launches on July 7th, 2020. Welcome to the apocalypse. This should be out at the same time that is live. So you should be able to listen to this and then go read that episode on Makerverse, or read that episode on Makerverse and then listen to this. But he's a great guy, incredible artist. And I talk a little bit in here about, you know, I've kind of recently been reconnecting to the indie comic scene that was part of my formative love of comics. And his work fits right into that world for me. So it's particularly exciting to bring this series to Makerverse and to work with Patrick to bring it to a larger audience and in a different format. So we really enjoyed this conversation. We're really excited about his series. We hope you'll check it out. And here we go.
I am Eben Matthews.
I'm Adam Martin.
And we are here today with a very special guest, Patrick Williams, who some might also know as The Broke Grid. We're going to talk about his work in general and also the series that he is currently working on for Makerverse called Basic Space. So, Patrick, just to kick things off, do you want to just give everybody that's listening a little background and a little bit of kind of who are you? What you been up to? Where'd you come from?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I'm a Southern California native and like a comics consumer for life. Studied art in school and illustration, and like maybe in the last, I don't know, like 5 or 7 years, have just found comic making to be like my go-to means of exploration and storytelling. And it's like, if I have time to sit and doodle, like I'm making comics. And that's not totally like how I was trained. Like, I was trained in illustration and fine art, but like, despite that, like the medium of comics is just like so compelling for me that I keep coming back to it no matter what. So like, here I am making stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fascinating to me, because I have a little bit of a shared journey there, from illustration more to comics and there and back again in a weird way, actually. But if you had to kind of describe what that bridge was, is it just something you've kind of found yourself gravitating towards? Was there kind of a moment or an inspiration? Like, what kind of brought you through that process?
Well, like, I feel like I went into my undergrad drawing comics, like coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. Manga had just started to like become readily available in the US, and I was like reading like all those early Image comics, yeah, and stuff like that. And so like, I went into my undergrad drawing comics, and then like a couple years in, I was like, comics aren't serious. So I transitioned away from that, and then, you know, like I pursued illustration, and the illustrations that I produced were very cartoony, yeah, of course.
There may be a couple of places where I have to do this. This was recorded remotely, and there are a couple of places where we lost audio. So Patrick is saying that he ended up teaching classes in cartooning.
But through that, like learning how to teach students how to make cartoons and comics, I got so fixated on the process that I just started making them myself. And so here I am, like, years later.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I mean, I think we probably grew up around the same time in the comics world, because, you know, certainly kind of the black and white indie explosion that kind of led into Image, you know, is very kind of formative for me as both a comics reader and someone who wanted to kind of pursue that. And then first of all, am I right about that? Is that kind of the sweet spot for kind of collecting and reading for you as well?
Yeah. I was in junior high, I think, when Ninja Turtles like really hit. And that was like my first fixation, was like those black and white indie Ninja Turtle comics and some of the weird spin-offs from there.
Totally.
And then I just got deep, but not as deep as like some other people. Like I listen to some other comic books and like they know stuff that like I'm like, whoa, how do you even know that? Like when did you find time to read all that?
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Because it's funny, I've been kind of fixated recently as we've been, you know, developing more stuff for Macroverse, but also don't usually shout out another show right at the beginning of our show, but I've been kind of rabidly consuming this other podcast called Cartoonist. I think it's Cafebe, or I think it's Cartoonist Cafebe. I'll post a link to it in the show notes for people. But it's Ed Pisker and Jim Rugg, who are both, you know, professional cartoonists and comics artists, and have done everything from, you know, stuff from Fantagraphics to stuff for Marvel and kind of everything in between. And they've been doing these really kind of deep dives, both interviews with some, you know, incredible creators, like everyone from Steve Bissett to Kevin Eastman to Rob Liefeld and kind of everyone in between. But also kind of this, you know, journey back into that world. And I realized how much I had forgotten in some ways, how inspiring to me that kind of, especially the indie explosion, where, you know, there was a time where you would go to the comic store and just never know what was going to be there in the best possible way, like kind of starting with Ninja Turtles and then, you know, kind of going into the Caliber Press was doing some interesting stuff, and all these kind of little black and white publishers that were, you know, kind of finding a way to do interesting creative work and tell stories that really weren't being told in any other way. And then I think Image, you know, as much as I love what Image did, it kind of it shifted the industry, where that combined with Diamond becoming the only distributor in town, you know, kind of killed that. And it never really came back. And so I've been kind of aware of like how inspiring that stuff was to me and how I kind of forgot about it. And so I'm gonna use that as a segue to kind of talk about, you know, one of the things I love about your work and one of the reasons I originally reached out to you, and I'm actually super excited about what you're doing with Basic Space, is it kind of feels like some of that stuff to me. And I mean that as kind of the highest compliment, where, you know, I'm looking at it and it's like, it's incredibly well crafted, and you clearly know how to draw, and you clearly know how to, you know, communicate ideas and story, you know, with a sequence of images and text, when some would call those comics. But there's also sort of I don't know how to say it other than the way it strikes me as sort of a wild level of exploration in the way that you're kind of telling these stories and finding ways to tie moments together and kind of bringing me and us, the reader, from, you know, kind of one idea to another idea. And there's sort of a you know, an influence obviously from Turtles and some of those other things, but, you know, I mean, talk a little bit about kind of your process and how Basic Space came to be, and just your kind of body of work in general all kind of feels to me like it embodies that kind of, you know, indie sensibility, you know, again, kind of in the best possible way.
Yeah, well, I mean, thank you, that's an amazing compliment. I think I spent a couple of years like trying to make things that looked really good drawn properly and according to all the rules and stuff. But I found myself like really drawn to the things that were produced that were professionally available that like didn't fall into that category. And I think for me, like, series like Jillian Tamaki's Super Mutant Academy, which it may have been a webcomic, I don't even know. But there were a few things like that that I read that just like gave me permission to just stop working. Yeah. stop trying to make things that look good and just do the thing. And so like mid grad school, it was probably like 2017 or something like that, I started doing this thing where I just had like a sketchbook, and I told myself, right, I'm going to do a page of story a day and just see where this thing goes. And so that it wound up being like a 550 page story that I literally, it's just like sitting in a drawer right now, cause I have no idea what to do with it. But like that project, I don't know. It's like just a weird, weird meta narrative deep dive that I did purely for myself. And, you know, if nobody else ever looks at it, I'm cool with that. But when I was done with that, I'm like, oh my God, I need to keep moving. And so like literally the next day I started drawing Basic Space.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to approach it differently formally. So like every project I do, I give myself like slightly different constraints to work within, just as a challenge and as an experiment. Mm-hmm. So I think the major formal experiment for me with Basic Space was having narrative happening in the panels and then like a third person narrative overlapping the top that didn't necessarily align with that. So it sort of starts in alignment in the beginning and then they kind of diverge. And I guess they relate probably more than I thought they did at the time, but that's kind of the idea behind it.
Now, how much of that do you plan out in advance? Like, obviously, the exercise with the, you know, I'm going to do a page a day in this notebook is just an incredible way of getting into action. But it's like with something like Basic Space, how far ahead are you planning? Like, what's that process?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, like the first page, the first panel, it was just like a guy walking and it's like, Billy Lavender has a problem. And that was literally like all I started with. And then I let that organically lead me to the next part. And then, you know, maybe 20 pages in, and I think you can kind of feel it in the story. Like it's the story itself is trying to figure itself out because I am. And at a certain point, like it just kind of clicks. And then I have a sense of like, okay, well, this is maybe the main character or maybe not the main character. And I don't know, like you ever like watch a movie and you're like, well, this is going to end one of five ways or one of seven ways.
Right.
It's kind of like that. Like the ending is never the interesting part. Like it's always how you get there, I think. Mm-hmm. So at some point, yeah, I definitely know probably halfway through how I'm going to end it, but definitely not to start.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, I think you can see that in you know reading the story, but I think it's interesting because I think you can see that in other places. I mean, using movies as an example. I think there are movies and other comics and all kinds of things where you can kind of see like, oh, they didn't really know where they were going, and then they kind of tacked something on that kind of made sense. But I think this does. I mean, this actually, I think your description of it feels right on, where it's like you feel like as a reader you're kind of engaged with you as the creator in the process of discovering itself. Mm-hmm. So it has this kind of interesting meta quality to the whole thing, where at least I feel like very involved in that process even as the person just consuming it. So I think, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just really cool. Like, I don't know what else to say about that piece of it. It's just really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I was worried that like in doing that it's going to be too exhausting for a reader, or like if you step back too far, they're like, why am I reading this? Like, where is this going?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there are some people that just aren't as sophisticated as we are, but yeah,
that must be cool.
It must be it. Definitely. For sure.
Well, I'm English, so it can't be me, of course.
definitely not. You put some tea on, you're good to go.
Exactly.
You talked about teaching a little bit. Are you still teaching now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, teaching's weird right now in a time of COVID, but
me again, filling in an audio gap here. So he's saying, yes, he does still teach, and he teaches at
Arts High School in Orange County, called the Orange County School of the Arts. And we're called Digital Media, so I have approximately 80 students that are just in my program, and they're there for like video games, animation, design, and all that stuff. And I started out teaching, but now I'm like quasi-administrative, so like all of the work and none of the perks. But I've got like an amazing group of teachers that teach for me and know way more about all that stuff than I do. So it's really great. And then I also have a junior college class I teach that I've been teaching at Orange Coast College for like over 10 years now. And I just, every year I'm like, well, surely the economy will see the end of this job this year. And so I don't quit. And then like the next year, like, I'm like, well, surely, like this will be the last year I teach. And like, I just continue to teach. And every year I think like, maybe I won't come back. But then I start teaching a semester and like, I really love it because the students are amazing and their enthusiasm. And it's like a totally different demographic than I have at the high school. So it's just engaging in a totally different way. And, like, I can learn class and all that other good stuff in college.
And how do you find then you kind of, how do you balance that? You know, obviously the teaching work, and obviously you love that, which is great. But like, how do you find the time to create your own stuff as well? Like, are you very rigorous about that, or is that kind of organic as well? What's that process for you?
I have a 1-year-old baby, so my rigorous process is pretty much down right now. but traditionally, like, I'm a morning person, so I'll just wake up and then log in 3 or 4 hours, and then head to work, and that's it. And even if nothing else happens creatively for me for the day, like, I feel like it's a success. And now I don't know, I'm like a crack addict trying to like sneak a hit of art making here.
We both have children, so we can both do yes. that to a significant degree. Yeah.
Yes. Especially at that point, that's actually even more impressive. I'm curious when you're, when you're working with students, I always find that, anytime you're, trying to help other people solve creative problems, that kind of round trips its way in different ways into your own work. So what, are there any things that kind of come to mind that have kind of come out of the combination of those experiences that have kind of influenced the way that you approach your own material?
Totally. I mean, I think mostly it's just like working with younger people and younger artists that are sort of emerging in their own like skills and approaches. Yeah. It's really inspiring because like something that I've seen 100 times, like I forget, is really amazing. Like they see it and they get it. And like all of a sudden like that enthusiasm is like totally transitive. And then I'm excited about whatever it is again. So I think like that's like on a daily basis, probably the most exciting part, as well as the fact that like, I mean, we all remember being young artists where you're like, you're just figuring stuff out and like, you don't know how you feel about things and like maybe something's working or it's not working. It's like I get to work with the students through all those kinds of challenges too. And I think that like helps me stay human and stay grounded in the process. And then like one of the, probably the biggest inspirations, I had one of my Orange Coast College students, we were talking about probably comics from the 90s. And I was talking about how like one thing was terrible and something else was terrible. Like I must've been in a mood or something. And the kid was like, yeah, well, what would you want to read? And then like that question got me thinking like, yeah, what would I want to read? And so a couple scripts came out of that question. Like, well, like what is cool? I, as an adult, want to read that like isn't something that's just recycled from my childhood.
That is a good question. I notice on some of your Instagram stories that you are, kind of going through different books or different things that you seem to have come across. What are some of those things? What are some recommendations of things that are cool now?
Oh my God. so I've been going through the Comic Journal, TCJ.com or whatever, puts out a year end list of like the best comics. And it's basically like an incomprehensible list from a bunch of different people. But I've been like sorting through that and like trying to find things that would fit my interests, but also sort of push my reading in a weird direction. So I don't even want to like try to pronounce any of the names. I just read Portrait of a Drunk by, I think it's Olivier or Oliver Schwerin, European. Actually, it's not just that guy. It's like two other people as well, but it's just a phenomenal book. And I don't know how they made it. I think parts of it look like they're risograph printed and other parts are painted, and it's just bonkers and depressing and just great, like just great storytelling. That one's pretty good. I don't know. Like I've still got a stack on my nightstand waiting to read. I don't know. What do you recommend? Like I will consume anything.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I think I've noticed for myself, I'm kind of realizing what the same thing that you just said. I've been revisiting a lot of older stuff, but haven't actually been reading a lot of current stuff, and realizing like, oh, there's a whole world of new discoveries out there waiting. I just came across, I haven't started reading any of them yet, but I came across the Center of Cartoon Studies also has their kind of thesis project that they post for the people that are graduating. And so I just came across that a couple of days ago, and I was like, oh, that would be interesting. It's going to see what this next wave of cartoonists and comic artists are kind of doing as what would you could kind of consider their first real work. So I was, starting to look at that. And then surprisingly, largely because of what we're doing with Macroverse, I realized also I haven't really like truly deep dive back into understanding comics in probably a decade. So I started kind of really reading that again and going back through that and, seeing how many of those ideas feel like they're completely still relevant. And, in some places where it's like, okay, well maybe we've moved past some of these things in different ways, and just kind of seeing where those things apply and don't apply to kind of what we're doing or just comics in general. So it's been kind of a fun experience to go back into something that was so informative for me in my, especially in art school and revisiting that from a new perspective. Voila. Oh,
yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. I do find. I'm sorry. What was that?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I think we got a little choppy and I thought you were done talking.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry. The wonders of remote air communication. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. We were laughing with somebody a couple of days ago where it's like, you know, every call, every, you know, Zoom or Skype meeting now starts with, can you hear me? Can you see me? Is my microphone working?
I was chatting with a friend actually about the perils of trying to write in a writer's room online.
Yes.
You never know. You're treading on each other and then you're not, and then jokes landing, or just people not finding them funny, or it's interesting. Yep.
So cool. Well, I'll put a couple of those things in the show notes as well, so anybody that's listening can just find the link to some of those recommendations. What are some of your other influences? Like, what are some of the things that were important to you or that kind of informed your approach or your work, as you were starting out, or, you know, also anything more recent?
Let me think. I mean, I'm going to like sit here and visualize what's on my bookshelf right now. I pull out the most frequently. Oh my God. You know, there's just like certain things that I look at over and over that don't fail to blow my mind, and like the artwork of James Jean is one of those. Like, I love that.
Absolutely.
But in terms of like comics and stuff, God, there's just so much.
Well, go back in time for a minute. So, you know, Ninja Turtles, and then kind of what were some of the things that going from there potentially?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. So, like, I think I got hooked on like certain properties or certain titles. Like, I went mm-hmm. through a phase and I was like, this is sweet. And then like I'd burn up. Like, I don't think I was even aware at that point that there were like groups of artists and writers that would work on a title and then move on. So yeah. It might've related to that. Like, maybe the art got crummy mm-hmm. Or wasn't like polished enough. So I think I first went through like a Spider-Man phase.
Yeah.
That's like my first big, like, deep dive. And I think Larson was working on it at the
mm-hmm.
And I got really into that. And then from there, Wolverine and like a little bit of X-Men and stuff, but like basically just Wolverine for like all of junior high and then early high school. And then from there, like Viz Comics started mm-hmm. dumping manga. And I just got into random stuff. So I read some Ranma for a while. I read mm-hmm. a bunch of Battle Angel, which I really love. I'm trying to think, like, what are those influences that come back like over and over?
I mean, was there ever, like, for me it was Art Adams, but was there ever a guy that, you know, you were like, oh man, like, I just want to draw like this person, or I just want to like figure out how they do what they do?
Unbelievably, his answer to that question was no, not a person that he was trying to emulate. To which my response was,
that's so cool. I always wish I had not had that fixation. It would have gotten me further along quicker.
Well, maybe not. Like, I don't know. If I was like trying to be better at something, who knows?
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Well, I think that's cool. I mean, I Spider-Man to Wolverine to manga is a pretty good progression. Ninja Turtles to Spider-Man to Wolverine to manga. You can see a little bit of all of that in your work. I think that's great.
Yeah. I think the swords are like the consistent thing that's in all of them. Like, I'm just swords.
That will be the title of this episode. Really things cool. With swords. Very cool. Well, as we met and started talking about, bringing stuff over to Macroverse. Number one, I just, again, I'm going to continue to fan out on you with how much I like what you do. But you're kind of readapting Basic Space, both for our format, which, I was expecting, but then you're also kind of revisiting it, adding new art, changing the kind of the way that you're expressing certain things, refinishing and recoloring different things. Which I love, but I'm curious kind of is it a way to kind of, approach it completely fresh, or kind of what was your thought process and kind of going into that?
Well, I mean, part of what's been really amazing about adapting it for the Macroverse app is the storytelling potential of comics mm-hmm. in the app form are totally different. So like I'm used to the idea of like building my composition, my structure mm-hmm. for like a page flip, and then that's your big reveal. And the, like the composition of an individual panel is less important on a page, you know, because it like mm-hmm. interlocks with the rest of the other panels and all that good stuff and your spread. But like, really, if you're looking at it on a phone or like a mobile device, like it's really just mm-hmm. that one panel that matters. But then you click it and you're like pop to the next. So I think in adapting it, I realized pretty quickly that I would have to add a bunch of stuff to take full advantage mm-hmm. of the new format. And then in doing that, I'm like, well, why not make this a better story? Why not put in jokes that are funnier to me now? And why not make the text more mm-hmm. succinct where it can be? And you know,
yeah, I mean, that's super cool. It's one of the things like when we actually started, putting all this together, is one of the things that we talked about as stuff that we hope people would take more and more advantage of is, you know, especially for things that are being adapted, is to kind of look at it as like the creator's cut edition, or, you know, the kind of equivalent of a director's cut for a movie, where you have this chance to, you know, revisit and tweak things and, you know, modernize to your sensibility and change dialogue and all that stuff. So I love the fact that you're taking advantage of it. It does, you know, it does really lean into the opportunity to, you know, really utilize the format for its strengths and not try to fight against the things that are perhaps its weaknesses. So I love it. Love it.
Well, and if somebody, you know, goes to the trouble of reading it on the app, like I want them to have a totally different experience than somebody who reads it, you know, in any other format.
Exactly. Adam, anything that you're thinking about? Any questions for you at the moment?
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, like, what else, because, you know, you touched on this a little bit, but, like, what else are you working on? Do you have, mm-hmm. are you one of those guys who has multiple projects running at the same time? Are you obviously, you know, you're juggling a few things at the moment. what else is in your spotlight, so to speak?
Yeah, okay. So the piles of projects I'll get to eventually. Some of those are just weird and very fine artsy, and, like, I would not even put them on my normal BroGrid mm-hmm. Instagram account, because people would be like, oh, like I've had friends walk over and like walk into the studio and just like stare at something like baffled, like, why are you doing that? So I've got a couple of those projects. The thing I've been working on, I think it's almost like a year or so now, is like an anthology of short stories I'm doing. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was originally, I think this is like 2018, 2019 or something. I was walking my dog and I was on my phone, you know, as you do when you have an old dog that doesn't want to walk and they just want to smell. I'm like, what are the best comics of 2018? But I did a typo and it was like 2028 mm-hmm. or something like that. And then I started thinking like, what would be the best comics like 30 years in the future or 200 years in the future? And so I started writing these short, like 10-page stories that, at least initially, were like very, very sci-fi based. And now they've just become a series of short anthology stories where, like I was explaining before, like I get into the form of it. So now I'm like into what can I do in 10 mm-hmm. pages in storytelling that like tells enough, you know, has an ending to it. Like I don't want a cliffhanger. And each one's like a totally different material or a totally different approach or whatever. So I think I've got like 8 of those complete. Thereabouts.
Nice.
Yes, yeah, chipping away at that slowly.
That's awesome. I gotta go back to your 500-page sketchbook story, and I keep thinking like that should be a Kickstarter or something. Like I think people would be interested in seeing what, you know, something that that may be in that format. I think you could reproduce it in sketchbook format and be really cool.
Well, it occupies like 10
of course, that's of course, 500 pages. Yeah.
Yeah. And each story arc happens within the context of like that one sketchbook. So each of those 10 sketchbooks is like a different chunk of story that all kind of ties together.
So then you need a slipcase edition for all 10 of them to, you know, slide into.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Well, I kind of like, I'd love to see it printed on like really, really thin, cheap, like phone book paper. So you can like, you can almost like see through one page and see
page behind it. Like, I mean, I can imagine it even, it's like even do it like spiral bound where it, you know, it's like everyone really does feel kind of probably similar to what you drew it on. Like that'd be pretty cool. Awesome. Well, Patrick, do you have any questions for us or anything that you want to share with anybody listening beyond what we've talked about so far?
No, I mean, it's been awesome chatting with you guys.
Yeah. It is. That sounded more conceited than I meant it, but
I wasn't going to say that out loud, but you know,
I caught it. Yeah, you know, it's so awesome chatting with us. Well, dude, I gotta say, again, I mean, it's, now I'm gonna continue to say this, I'm sure, as we talk, but I just love what you're doing, and it really is inspiring me both as a reader and as a creator of things, to kind of feel connected to a portion of the comics and creative world that, you know, I do feel has kind of sadly in some ways disappeared from, you know, the mainstream comics experience. So it makes me really happy both as a consumer and as someone that can kind of help put this back into the world in a hopefully fresh and interesting way. And hopefully we can get a larger audience engaged in it and kind of bring a different style and point of view of something that I just think is really cool and special, back into a wider audience's viewpoint, and hopefully we can get some more people making weird, cool things.
Yeah.
No, definitely. And as a total aside, just kind of counterpoint to that, all I want to do is see some of your fine art work.
It's true. Yes.
Like, having got to know you through this amazing, through this kind of amazing comic, I want to see what the other side of that of you is, and the other side of your drawing style. Mm-hmm. It's kind of be cool.
Well, I mean, based on us talking to you, you know, one of my mentors is a guy named Brian Stelfreeze, who's a, you know, comic artist, and always tell me, you know, when I was much younger, and one of his main things that he talks to people about is that in comics in particular, you know, there are artists, in his opinion, and there are storytellers, and those are not necessarily the same things. That, you know, there are people that just draw so beautifully that that's the thing that kind of brings you through every panel and page of the story. And then there are people that, you know, may not have the same level of draftsmanship, but you get completely lost in the experience of reading the story, and the art almost kind of disappears into that experience. And I think, you know, I think I'm a big fan of your art, but I would personally put you in that storytelling category where it, you know, it does start to feel like it's just one thing. It's one way of expressing a set of ideas. And I, you know, I think it works beautifully. And I'm fascinated now by some of the things that you've said about, you know, kind of giving yourself different challenges for different stories or different parameters for different stories. So I hope we get to see a lot more of that. And I hope we get to bring a lot more of that to the app over time as well. I love that. I think for anyone listening that's, you know, making comics or really making anything, I think, you know, giving yourself those sorts of challenges, you know, seems like a very good way to stretch your creative muscles and, you know, kind of in some ways push yourself to do interesting work.
One of the things that drew me to making comics is, like, I found myself working in a sketchbook, but I was just drawing the same thing over and over. But the narrative, or like having a story, like, okay, you draw a character, like, now what? Like, where are they going? Yeah. What do they want? Like, what's their problem that they need to solve? Like, that, I think, keeps me engaged in the process of making, like, that, mm-hmm. that narrative chunk of it. Nice. So, yeah.
Do you, are any of these things, do you ever start kind of with you're talking about writing, like, the short stories, like, are those something where you start more with a script or more with an outline, or do you mostly just kind of start drawing at the same time?
No, like, the short stories, each of those I'm approaching a little bit differently, but, like, I kind of have a premise for them before I do the thing, and then I tend to, like, pencil them or, like, rough them out and script them at the same time. And a lot of them wind up being silent or, like, textless comic. And I have written scripts, but the problem with scripts for me is I feel like at a certain point I stop being creative and I just follow the script, and then, like, it's boring.
Yeah.
the advantage of a script is somebody else can look at it and be like, eh.
Well, it's the benefit when you're making the whole thing, though. You kind of have your internal barometer for kind of where that's all going. It sounds to me like you're kind of mentally working Marvel style with yourself on some level.
That's funny.
The nice thing about working like digitally or like semi digitally is you can like go back in and edit, yeah. Right? You're like, oh, this doesn't work. Like, we need a new panel here and make it happen. Yeah,
absolutely. Very cool. Well, where else can people find you or interact with you? Give all of your social details and all that kind of stuff for people.
Yeah, sure. I'm Broke Grid on Instagram. And if you really want to see the fine artwork, williamsart.com is where some of it's housed.
Okay, great. We'll put those links up in the show notes as well, so people can easily find that stuff. And then Basic Space on Macroverse launches on July 7th. So we're very excited about that. And then there'll be new episodes hitting the platform every couple of weeks thereafter. With lots more to come.
Indeed.
Patrick, I mean, thanks so much for taking the time and chatting with us. I'm sure there will be more to talk about as things develop. And I guess I can just say, you know, keep making great stuff. You've got a couple of additional fans already here, and hopefully we can help add buckets more to
many
that
more to come.
I'm both excited and honestly just, you know, proud to be able to work on this with you and try to bring it again to a larger audience, because I think you're doing something pretty special.
Yeah. Oh, I really appreciate that.
That's awesome stuff. So again, thank you so much. Look for this on the app, look for it in all the places that Patrick mentioned, and more to come.
Great to chat with you, Patrick.
All right. Yeah. Good to see you, Adam.
Awesome. All right. And we'll cut there.
And that is indeed where we cut. So really enjoyed talking with Patrick about Basic Space and his journey and all that good stuff. Apologies for some of the in and out audio problems there. So thanks for sticking with us to the end. That has been another episode of the Mythmakers podcast as part of our Makerverse series with people that are making stuff for Macroverse. Of course, Macroverse is the future of comics, or at least it's our vision for it. So we believe it's the future of comics. It's our next generation digital comics platform. We've got a bunch of amazing creators and a bunch of amazing stories on there right now, with new stuff coming every week and new series launching every month. So we do hope you'll check that out, both for Basic Space and all the other stuff that's on there and coming. We're really excited about it. It's really cool. We think we're doing something really special, and we hope you will think so too. So grab that on iOS or Android. Check out the app, grab a 7-day free trial, read everything that you want. It's unlimited access for a $4.99 monthly subscription. So basically the cost of one comic gets you all access to everything on the app. So please do check that out. You can follow us on Instagram at Macroverse Media. It's the basically best place to connect with us. And you can also find us on the web at Macroverse, www.macroverse.media. I am Eben Matthews. That was Adam Martin and Patrick Williams. Go read Basic Space!